This week on football, Rice punishes West Ham.
Joe Rothwell picks out the top corner.
Casemiro gets confused.
Curtis Jones reveals Liverpool exclusively invented celebrating.
Gaffer himself, you know, the way fist bumps the fans and stuff, that's kind of like our thing. So.
And I scored again.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Goal Posts and Jumpers. It's me, your host, Alex. I am joined by Gareth.
What's happening?
And the man who a couple of weeks ago was nipping in front of Rafa Varane to score against Man United and equalise. It's Will Evans, everybody. Welcome, Will.
Hello, how are we?
Good to have you.
How are you? Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
You're not your first podcast experience. Obviously, you've done a few. You said you had done maybe six or seven recently.
Yeah, I'll be on about six or seven now.
Just can't say no.
Yeah, so I just love a podcast. People keep telling me, they keep seeing my face all over Twitter and Instagram.
Joe Rogan asked.
Yeah, I had to turn down Joe. So
yeah, that's fair enough. Bigger podcast, bigger traction.
Yeah, exactly.
On that goal that you scored against Man United, I heard a few people are trying to take it off you. Is that right?
Is that the rumour?
Really?
Well, apparently it took a deflection.
Do you know what? I did take a deflection, but I played it onto Varane, so...
Exclusive.
Still counts. It was on target, so I'm taking it.
After that game, obviously you were kind of the talk of the town, and obviously you scored the goal, which was one of the biggest goals of your career. But probably the first thought you thought after finishing that is, can I get a shirt from one of the players at the team I support? What happened?
Well, it was honestly like school dinner's queue. It was, the lads were racing all over the pitch. They were queuing outside their changing room. And I was a little bit like, I just want to, I've just, you know, blast myself for 90 minutes. I just wanted to sit in the changing rooms. And then I seen the lads queuing up and I thought, oh, you know what? I'll just have whoever I get, and ended up with McTominay's.
Honestly.
Oh, you got McTominay?
Yeah, which is a
mate,
good
he's
one.
Like one of the best midfielders in the world at the moment.
Yeah, I think so.
Has he got 12 goals?
I mean, I love
it. I'm not kidding. I actually thought this the other day. You know, like, I was actually going to make a video. I'm adamant he's one of the best midfielders in the world right now.
I'm his biggest fan.
On current form.
I'm a big fan, as a United fan.
Are you actually a big fan of Scott McTominay?
Yeah, I like McTominay. Yeah,
you said because he's split, isn't it? The United fan base.
Yeah.
Some of them,
but if you want somebody who's going to, like, work so hard for the shirt, as all fans want, and he just loves the club.
He's low key, like, genuinely, like, really technical, I think.
Yeah, he's good. Good player. He's popped up how many important goals this year, mate. So I'm a big fan.
And you got his shirt.
I got his shirt, yeah.
Oh, because we thought you might not have managed to get one.
Yeah, I looked at it and I thought, apparently an interviewer kind of stopped you from
getting
it.
Right, yeah.
Is that
right? I won't name the people who it was, TalkSport. It was...
TalkSport.
But yeah, they were like, oh, we can't get the camera work. And I've just seen, like, Martinez go past, Bruno go past, Hoyland go. I was like, oh, do you know what? Who am I going to end up with here? And then, to be fair, went into changing rooms and there was a shirt on my spot. So I didn't even, like, speak to him personally to get it. There was just one left on my spot and it
just please. Just
a little bit like, I don't know about you, but I would almost feel a little bit, like, embarrassed about going up to him. Did you feel like that?
Yeah, I didn't want to go and queue.
But it's almost like they expect it, though, do you know what I mean, as well?
Surely, I think their kit man had brought a few more shirts down and give us some, like, some coats and whatever else, but
it's quite degrading, though.
The other thing I was thinking of, I think Seb, the lad I play up top with, he got Martinez's shirt because they had both come off towards the back end of the game. If I went on the United website and just bought a Martinez shirt, who would know any different?
Nobody would.
You look at the photos of me, like, up against Martinez in the game, no one would ever know.
Yeah, you put on your wall. It's like, so, oh, you did play against.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Seb Palmer, isn't it?
Yeah,
he's quality.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like,
workhorse. He is like a machine. He's I think he's 20 years of age.
He's 19. Young. He's 19. Got 5 goals in League 2 yeah, already.
He's the size of that door, honestly. His frame is massive.
Got the goal against Wrexham as well.
Goal against Wrexham.
That celebration as well. We'll
yeah,
play a clip
yeah, loved
of Sam Palmer's celebration. When he scored against Wrexham, like, I could see it. And like, don't get me wrong, like, Wrexham were giving it big earns, big licks, like the arrogance of calling Newport like a small club. Mm. And Palmer scores and runs straight up to them. I'd been seeing
it. He was good.
It
was
talking of celebration, though, I wanted to ask you, who created the celebration first? Was it you or Cole Palmer?
Don't ask me that. It was Cole Palmer.
So you're guilty of stealing celebrations?
Yeah, I know. And I've tried tagging him in a couple of photos of me doing it.
Yeah.
The Eastleigh one. And I thought, you know, FA Cup to set up the Man United tie, surely get onto that. Didn't. So then I tried it again after the United game. Still didn't get back to him. So,
mate, you can't.
He must be busy.
You can't moan. You've got Garnacho playing for you, who literally bases his whole celebration book off what Ronaldo does.
Yeah, true. True.
Like,
true.
I don't think he's had an original celebration. And he also puts up pictures of on his personal Instagram, not even him, just of Ronaldo.
He loves him.
Yeah.
He's in love.
Idol.
But why? But I get it. I get it. Like, Ronaldo is class. Who is, like, who would you say is your, like, best player of all time for you?
For me, my favourite player of all time,
yeah,
it always has been, has been Van Persie.
Really?
I love Ron Van Persie.
Oh, yeah, he was quality. Is that so? Who do you think, though, who the debate for you, Messi or Ronaldo? What's your preference?
As a United fan as well, I'd always be biased towards Ronaldo.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Messi just does things that are inhumane. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just look at his clips. I just don't know, he's just 3-4 steps ahead. Well, I feel like Ronaldo is pure just like hard work specimen, like his leap, his pace. Messi's quick, but he's not rapid.
Yeah.
But his, like, his technical ability with a football is just second to none. That no one
can. Messi's speed of thought is isn't it?
He's just, he can take in the pitch. Like, it's like same as Rooney, like that kind of ability to, like, know what is going on at all times. And certain players have that.
It's just, different. And that is the one thing playing against Man United that you notice against a Bruno or even like a Martinez. They are just 2-3 steps ahead.
Who's a player that you played against in that game that you're not going to be surprised by because they're Man United players, but who really went,
Dallow.
Oh, wow, really?
That's mad. Yeah, obviously I'd rate him, but
there was a ball that come over my head and it was probably like chest height here and I'm watching it the whole way and I've seen him in front of me and he just in the air backheeled it back to the keeper and I just thought,
that's so demotivating.
What chance have I got?
So much better than people give him credit for.
And he's rapid.
He's lightning.
He is lightning quick. Yeah. Like, I was not surprised, like you said, you're not surprised by it, but to think watching United over the years, I've never really felt he's done enough to be like a solid starter, but you're playing against him week in, week out, and you think, wow, like that, he was crazy for me.
We were talking earlier about what it's like to play against obviously difficult teams, top level teams, even just League Two and Conference that were more difficult to play against than what the United side was. Do you think that's a symptom of United, how they are at the moment, or do you think it's just a nature of Premier League teams maybe give you a bit more space?
Well, first of all, magic of the cup. You know, that old saying that at the end of the day, it's still 11v11. You know, all the pressure was on Man United to come to little old Rodney Parade, play little old Newport. Perfect for us. We've been underdogs in the league all year. So when someone like a Man United comes into town, you think, we have absolutely nothing to lose. Absolutely nothing. If we get smashed 6-7-8-0, everyone would be like, well, Man United, do you know what I mean? Just getting there was the big talking point. But then to hold our own, I just felt like we were just playing with a bit of freedom. And don't get me wrong, when I looked at the clock, 15 minutes gone, 2-0 down, I thought, oh, God.
I can remember watching. I was like, I was watching with my old man and the second goal went in and instant comment, oh, this is going to be 8-9. And it's easy to say that. Yeah. But the way, for me, Newport, like, showed character in the way that your heads would go down as well, watching.
Yeah.
And it was mad, like, there were times when Manchester United in the Premier League played in Newport, Rodney Parade with Chasing Chatters.
Yeah.
And like, you just took the game to them. I don't know what the manager said at half time, but even the second half.
Start the second half better than you started the first half.
Simple.
So don't concede in the first 6 minutes and you've done something better.
And you're
then we went on
that. That's just,
But like,
absolute screamer as well.
Yeah, screamer.
I bet he's absolutely buzzing with that.
Yeah, joke. I mean, obviously that's gone in. It turns the game on its head a little bit. And then where my goal comes from is Nick, our keeper, takes a quick goal kick a minute into the second half. Normally you'd be like, let's just stay in this game for as long as possible, wind down the clock, see what chance we've got. And he's played a long ball over the top, and we were 2v2 against him. So we had, luckily enough, built it out.
Great cross as well.
He put it to Adam Lewis, and then, yeah, great ball. He's got great delivery, Adam.
Do you know what I always feel sorry for in football sometimes is the people who set up the assist, like the pre-assist. Because like Wildig's
pass.
Yeah. We were saying it before, like I'm a big admirer of Wildig as a former Cardiff player. Like the way he just like, I don't know, just the ball is just like, cushioned out of him, like he just like the way he passes is so aesthetic and pleasing to watch.
You needed that,
and that pass,
right?
That pass out wide was key. Like he set up so like the cross was easy for him. What you had to do then wasn't easy to stick a leg out, but like Will Digg, he's underrated. Big time.
Big fan of his. He's like on and off the pitch, so good.
Yeah,
so good.
Who's a player that you have played against outside of Man United that's really impressed you in the league this season?
In the league.
Or any other season the most.
Do you know what? A real random one. This is last year when we played Leicester in the Carabao.
Yeah.
That Dennis Pratt. Right. Small Belgian.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Really?
Just like, he 5 foot 5, 5 foot 6, but he just glides past people and makes it look effortless. His little touches, nutmegging people like he was playing in the playground. Like, you hear that cliche a lot, but he was just... Oh, just effortless, and he never played Leicester. I still don't know. Does he even play for Leicester anymore? I don't know.
I think he's on loan to the Championship team. I don't know.
But he was incredible. And then in the league, good question, because we've, like, in the league now, like, Charlie Austin's now playing for Swindon.
That's mad.
Which is like a massive name. He scored goals in the Premier League. McGoldrick played against him last year for Derby, and I thought he was an unbelievable, like, he was so good for Derby.
Yeah.
And then
when we
played him at their place, he was suspended, but almost a good thing because you're like, I know how good he can be. He can change a game on his own.
Did you play against Jody Jones?
He's
insane. Have you seen his stats?
No, who's Jody?
He has 19 assists, and 6 goals.
He's broke the record
in like 20.
Is he young? Is he?
Like
he had a really bad 20? ACL injury, and he was at. Was he maybe at Coventry? Because one of the lads used to play for Coventry.
I know he was in the Championship at one point.
Yeah. And to be fair, when we played him, he was such a sound bloke as well. But his left foot. Do you know what? That I probably would say Jody Jones.
I was going
to
say.
If you look at his assist reel this year, I mean, the one he got on the weekend to break the record for the 18th one, he's just passed and the lads gone on and finished it.
Look how many months are left of the season as well. He's got 18 assists.
18 and in the middle of Feb. And he's like his delivery, like not the quickest player, not the strongest, but just. Just
the
so
League
sharp.
Two Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, maybe. He does have Macaulay Langstaff on the other end of crosses, who's is a poor man's
he's
Will Evans, to be fair.
Yeah,
you're
slotter.
Close, though.
Yeah. I mean,
do you reckon you can get a top scorer?
Well, now I'm in this position, you've got to think about it, haven't you? But like, it's never really been like last year, I just wanted to play games. This year, I just wanted to play games and have an effect on the team. Now that we've obviously had a bit of a rocky season, now with my 3 or 4 goals behind him, so I've got to aim for it.
I bet you did come into the season. Did you expect to be getting that amount of goals? Did you have a target for yourself?
Well, I was playing left wing back all of pre-season. First game at home, away to Accrington, played up top, hit the post, and I thought, right, that's my one chance to play up top where I want to play.
Yeah,
I've hit the post. We played Charlton at home in the Carabao Cup. Mm. Started as a left back, not even left wing back.
Oh, mate.
I thought...
Where's your head at there?
I was accepting the fact that, right, he wants me as a left back. Let's just...
Yeah.
And then we actually signed Adam Lewis, who we now got from Liverpool, left wing back. I thought, is that for a bit of competition? Matty Bonzo, we got him from Newcastle. He'd been signed by Newcastle from Leipzig. Like, where am I going to fit into this team?
Yeah.
And he told me after that Charlton game... In the 70th minute, we'll put you up top. And I went up and scored and we won 1-0, 2-0.
Just need the rubber of the green sometimes.
Just that little rubber of the green, do you know what I mean?
I don't look what's happened. Like, I know. He's got crazy. Like an 18, 70.
Yeah. It is
20
nuts.
Goals, all competitions.
Yeah, it's crazy how it works.
Should we get Will Evans on the Two Lies and a Truth hype train?
Okay, so Two Lies and a Truth is the part of the show where I come up with 3 crazy football stories. One is true, 2 are lies. This week, it's a Will Evans special. So it's 3 quotes from you.
Oh, no.
God. 2 are lies, 1 is true. You have to guess.
I really hope they're embarrassing.
The audience have to guess which one is the true story.
I really hope. Honestly, I never know where we're going with these. I can't wait to find out what you've come up as two lies.
Yeah, I want
to
know the plausible answers.
Well, I want to see what your poker face is like.
So
I'm going to let you read them.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah.
And let's see if you can convince
Baker. So the worst part here is I'm the only one here that doesn't know. You two know.
And the, yeah, people, well, and the people at home.
Well, I guess, yeah, but stuff, you know, like that. Whatever.
So there's three quotes from you. You've got to read them. You've got to guess which one is the true story.
You are, Will. I can't wait for this. Go on, lie to me, Will Evans.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
I was hoping I wouldn't score against Man United, being a big fan, but I accidentally got on the end of one, and the rest is history. That's quote number one.
Oh.
Quote number two. I was approached by a scout from Portugal, but I'm too pale for that. I wouldn't last. Quote number three. When they told me Newport was being taken over by Hugh Jenkins, I thought it was the guy who presents the news on the BBC.
I really want that one to be true. I really want that to be true.
Three quotes. One of them is true. We're going to reveal the answer at the end of the show, so make sure you stay tuned for it.
I hate it. Well done, Will, you've done it like a pro.
On that last one...
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the takeover. Obviously, not news anchor, who Edwards, obviously, but yeah, Hugh Jenkins, who, you know, as a Cardiff fan, it's hard to admit, when he was in charge of Swansea, they had... You know, probably arguably the most successful spell in their history. They got promoted to the Premier League, sustained that level of football for a long time. He left, and you can only look where Swansea are now. They're in a much worse place. What's the feeling like around Newport?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few rumours about it, you know, in like the weeks leading up to it actually officially getting announced. As a football fan, not as a football player, I've heard of Hugh Jenkins because of the journey took Swansea on, and you know, bringing them from the lower leagues all the way up, and I knew that he had done some successful things, but it's honestly for the players, and this is like hand on heart, it is just business as usual. All that is like goes on in the background, don't really see any of it. When it got announced, you know, we were in the midst of the Man United stuff, and like we were going down to Eastleigh in midweek, then we had Wrexham, like we had a big, like, there was a lot going on the pitch for us that we can't get caught up in that. And for players, it doesn't really affect you that much because, you know, that's down to the manager and the staff and the board of, you know, directors and whatever. So I'll be honest, like, we're in, you know, just out the loop a little bit. Yeah. But he introduced himself when he came in and, you know, he's made like a positive impact so far. You know, he's been quite transparent on social media and online, and you know, he's helped people like just put an end to certain rumours and whatever else. So I suppose he's just come in and done his job as he should have. Is that my phone ringing?
It's all good. Maybe it's Hugh Jenkins with a pay rise.
Okay, no.
I did read a quote on the BBC, so you know it's got to be true.
Yeah.
Obviously.
It was a quote about you, and obviously in the January transfer window, there will be speculation when you're doing well, which is obviously part and parcel of it.
Is it that he's too pale to play in Portugal? I've got to try and work out.
Yeah, you've got to try and figure out.
I've got a job to do here, guys.
It was about, this is about you. His remarkable exploits resulted in heaps of transfer interest during the January transfer window. Do you get... You already told me you're going to shut me down as soon as I ask you anyway, but do you get any kind of feedback from that? Do you know which clubs are interested in you?
Honestly, now for me, it's... And I've done a couple of interviews and people have asked the same question, but... It's genuinely background noise to me. Unless there's like a formal offer being made, like that statement, I've seen it myself and I was thinking, who is it? Like,
You kind of
Of course,
right?
You're going to think about it.
Because obviously, you know, it comes across, I see it online and whatever, but I genuinely had no idea. I don't know what level, I don't know what country, I don't know if they were in the same league, nothing at all.
Real Madrid.
Yeah, Real Madrid could have been knocking, but I probably
imagine.
Imagine.
Would you do it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I know there's nothing wrong with being ambitious, but how far do you think you can go? Because you seem to have a lot of self-belief, and we've watched
you play. I've got a follow-up question for that
We're saying during that United game.
Like, genuinely. We're not just saying slow smoke up your ass, mate. Like, I'd have you at Cardiff now.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding, as a Cardiff fan. Like, I genuinely would. Like, we struggle for... like a striker as technical as you, like who works as hard, and we haven't had one. But
and a finisher, like you're an out and out finisher, and I bet you didn't expect that.
I can't remember the last striker can't score more than 2 goals a season. Where do you think you can go though, generally?
For me, I've had such a different journey into professional football. So I remember a good friend of mine I went to university with signed for Swansea, and he sent me a quote from Roy Keane's autobiography, who come into football a little bit later, and he said the best thing that happened to me was coming into it later, because I was more mature, I was more settled, I knew what I wanted, and I knew I was working on a time frame. And that has applied to me in the fact that if I was 21 now, I'd have another 10, hopefully 15 years left in the game. I haven't got that kind of time to work with. So not that I put that pressure on myself, but I know I'm on a time frame where I haven't got 10 years to be playing as high as I can or to earn as much money as I can or to win as many trophies. Like, I'm just... don't think too far ahead. I'm just trying to approach it that I'm going to just try and do what I can now, because it's not time isn't on my side. I'm 26, I mean, I'm not 36, but you know, to play as high as level as I can. Obviously, the older you get, the less, you know, chances you're probably going to get. So, yeah, that quote's always stuck out to me, you know.
Yeah, again, there are a few other players, like, who've come into it. Like, you look at Jamie Vardy. Like,
yeah.
I know it's a boring prime example, but wasn't Ian Wright as well? Didn't he come into football super late? Yeah. Like, he was literally, like, in the conference or whatever, like, playing, like, and I think he was playing Sunday League and stuff when he was, like, 23, 24.
You look at someone like Mahrez as well, who was playing in the third league of French football.
Yeah. And I get what you're saying. Like, you probably, like... appreciate it more now as well. Like, you're like, obviously not knocking the Welsh Premier League, like, I think it's on the up, but to go from that to, you know, playing against Manchester United in the cup,
crazy honestly, I can't put that into words. Like, that is nuts. I know many people who've gone through that same journey as me. But yeah, that's, you know, I'm absolutely love what I do. Like, to say I'm a footballer is crazy. Like, football, I feel like a twat saying that, if I'm honest.
Yeah, of course you can. God. I was just going to say is, let me just turn the mic a bit. There we go.
Right, okay.
Yeah, mate, it's not a twat to say.
No, but it's just like, just absolutely love it, and then just see where it goes. I genuinely think, I have my own self-belief, I keep it to myself, but who knows where it can go.
Do you know what's crazy? You talk about the Welsh Premier League. I apologise if I get the guy's name wrong, but I'm fairly sure his name was Rhys Griffiths.
Yeah.
Who played for, like, I think he used to score like 32 goals in 30 games a season in the Welsh Premier League consistently over like 8 years. And he's 29, 30, and Plymouth.
Is it TNS?
TNS. And I think he played for Kinnecky.
Andy current Egg. Manager now at Pennebont.
Oh, is he really? Yeah, of course he is. Yeah, he's Pennebont.
Yeah.
Well, mate, he used to bag, like, no disrespect, like twice as many goals as he did when you were at Ballard, and he signed for Plymouth and he just couldn't make it.
There must be a big step up though. Did you notice
it straight away? Whether that's like training or athleticism, or
the constant training, but it was more of a mindset thing. So that's another thing coming into it later. I was in that mindset where I was like, "This is my fucking last chance. I've got to give this everything I can."
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I'll be back playing in the Welsh Prem. Not that, again, no disrespect to the Welsh Prem, but I was working part time for my old man. I'm thinking, I don't want to do this. I get my enjoyment on a weekend playing football. So the mindset, I kind of adapt to that pretty quick. The intensity, the manpower, the, like, you know, the graft, that was the thing that, like, physically took its toll on me. And then even again, like, earning the respect of the players, like, the manager's brought you in. So, you know, like, he's seen something in you, he trusts you. Obviously you've got to build that trust, but then earning the respect of the changing rooms, because that's who you spend most of your time with.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the hardest things.
Garrett, you're playing with some players that not only are playing or had played for a long time at that level, they're also coming in from big clubs, Everton, Man United, Liverpool, Newcastle. And you've got to be on your game so they don't come in and go, who's this guy?
Yeah, why am I training with this twat?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And that's how I felt. The only good thing I had at Ballot, I was with Dave Edwards for a season.
He was a quality player as
and
well.
And he was, like, quality.
He played for Wolves.
Yeah.
Played in the Euros.
Played 50 times for Wales or whatever it was.
Yeah, it's mad.
I was in a car school with him at Ballot, and he was such a top lad, such a genuine bloke. Saw a lot of myself and him in the fact that he just approached everything with just, like, you know, tunnel vision, and he took everything into his stride, and he was so good with me, giving me some good tips and pointers and stuff. So
he's played at, like, top level.
Top level, well, like, you know,
top as you can.
Yeah, yeah. Premier League, international stages, international big tournaments.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was
good person.
Great person to learn from.
Just a follow up question, like, what we're talking about, and it's obviously segueing that into the Euros. We genuinely were saying before, like, I was speaking to Vince, he watches a lot of the Welsh team, everything. Mate, I genuinely think you could get a call up now. I'm not even kidding.
Yeah.
Like, if that call that, comes,
yeah.
Like, I know you're a proud Welshman, yeah. Like, you know, from Mid Wales and everything. Like, same as me, I'm from Brecon. Like, yeah. It is a really proud, like, Welsh, you know, constituency.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
What would it feel like for you putting on that Welsh shirt?
I think, personally, that would top the Man United goal.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Even if it was against Estonia in a friendly.
I wouldn't give a, I know. I wouldn't care if it was against Cardiff Met on their 3G. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would.
I
that,
know what you
for
mean.
Me, that would be. I've always grown up watching United, but you know, like an international game, yeah. Like you're a country behind your nation. I remember being 16 on my 16th birthday, went to Cavos with all my mates. And Wales played Belgium when...
Oh, you were 16 then, Carney, that's bad, isn't it?
Which is crazy. Or,
Sam Vokes.
Ashley Williams. And do you know what I mean? That was fucking scenes. And at 16...
I can't even describe.
Yeah, like, just unbelievable. And that's one memory. Is always. But imagine representing your country, whatever you do, whatever level. Like, even for the Wales Sea, I thought that was a real proud moment for me. To go and do it to be full international, wow. Yeah, crazy.
Just putting on that, like, even for crazy. Me, like, I literally, obviously, I can't even imagine it because I'm shit at football, but like yourself, like, you're quite literally within reach. Like, yeah. I'm not even kidding. It's like, you know, he's put people like Paul Mullin on standby, who isn't even Welsh.
Yeah.
Like, you're in the same league, you're outscoring him. Like, I know Rob Page isn't afraid to look at like the leagues below. Because at the end of the day, you can be championship quality and be playing in League Two. And I think right now, it must be close. Like.
Yeah, well, again, it's like the January transfer window. It's all background noise for me. I just try and it sounds so shit and it's a bit
but
of a
can't you use
answer.
As a motivator rather than background noise?
It's just not how I work, really. I feel like it just puts too much unnecessary pressure on myself.
Yeah.
You know, if that call comes, if that message or, you know, an update comes, well, so be it. Like, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. But, you know...
Expect less and you get more.
Achieve more.
Not quite a Joe Rogan podcast, this, is it?
But no, if it comes, it comes. But
mate, that'll be quality. That would be the pinnacle and we do need a striker. Like Kiefer Moore's like 31, 32 now. Yeah. We need someone else coming through and, you know, hopefully that's you. Yeah. You know, I do want to go to another, you know, Euros or World Cup.
That'd be a dream.
Well, what's World the Cup. Situation in the Euros at the moment for Wales? Are they
so we,
still an
no, we're in the playoffs. So,
playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously we'll play, I can't remember we're playing now and that's
in
ridiculous,
March,
I can't
it?
Believe. Yeah. And obviously will get called up, score the winner, go to the Euros, it'd be class. But it's obviously...
It might be the first Wales goal I actually celebrate is if I saw you score, I'd be like,
yeah.
Go on.
Yeah.
I'd still be like, ah. But I'd be like, yeah, go on.
Talking of the Wales teams, I know obviously... You're into Wales probably as much as I am. Obviously, with the championship, you got Dan James, Joe Rodon, Ampadu, Jordan James, Kiefer Moore, all now getting game time. I'm not saying they don't cut the mustard at Premier League, but then you got like Harry Wilson, who is cutting the mustard at Premier League, Brennan Johnson, who's. You know, do you think, obviously, Bale retiring was a huge hit? Do you think this is almost like the strongest talent coming through in Wales' history?
Yeah, it's a good point. Obviously, losing someone like Bale,
it's horrendous.
Just like
it's literally horrendous
as a stature move. That is, that is a kick in the balls.
It literally felt
when he came and done a speech. Yeah.
I was like watching. I was like, mate, please just put your boots back on.
Yeah, yeah. Like what you do to have him back.
Yeah,
and you know we're probably gonna have the same feeling with Ramsey when that eventually comes.
Mate,
like they've been two stalwarts for Wales for years.
Insane.
But then, like you said, you've got these current Championship, League One players, Premier League players who are playing consistently week in, week out, which is allowing not so much pressure on one individual, such as a Gareth Bale, who was a world beater, let's have it right. You're not putting all that on a Harry Wilson because he's got someone like a Brennan Johnson or a David Brooks around him.
Everyone's almost
got David Brooks as well, on loan to Southampton.
Yeah,
he went out on loan.
He's already got like four assists in like two games or something. It's ridiculous. I think he'll suit him well, but they're all getting game time now.
Everyone is kind of just on like a bit more of a level playing field. And you know, over the years, he has pulled us out of some shit, Bale, hasn't he?
I've been there to watch most of it, and I've been at the games. And sometimes, like, he was a world beater in the sense that I'd watch it, and I'd be like, oh, come on, man, he's got to do something. Like, and I'd get almost, and then he'd score like a 40-yard screamer. I'm like, why was I ever doubting
it? Because with him on the bench, you just know you've got
done it
for chance,
Spurs, you just pop up. But that's the problem we have right now. Like, we don't have that person who could change a game.
No.
But we've almost got more of a complete team.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Yeah, which is great. But, and then obviously, again, once you play for us.
There's
we'll get you the call up, I promise.
There's something in me that wants to pull back to the Man United chat, and I can't help it because you're a fellow Man United
fan. Yeah, yeah.
But something you mentioned earlier and before we started recording was some of your experiences with some of the Man United players. Yeah. And obviously, a lot of hate goes out to the likes of Bruno Fernandes, Lisandro Martinez. But what were they like to play against as people?
Yeah, I must say, like, obviously, we've got a few Liverpool fans in our team as well. We're saying, oh, we can't wait to get into Anthony or Bruno. And everyone come off the pitch saying the exact same about all of them, saying they are actually most genuine. Well, they're just normal blokes, do you know what I mean? Obviously, they're in the headlines week in, week out. But that, like, Bruno, after I scored my goal, I was running back and he's tapped me on the back and said, like, good finish, mate. And
well, Bruno, I can't believe that.
Yeah, Bruno, he said, like, good finish, mate.
That's absolutely, yeah, that's a captain.
And it made me
though,
think, right, okay, they're going to get out of second gear now and really put us up.
Yeah, but the fact
that
he'd done that, he didn't have to do that. I know it's human, but sometimes you just romanticise footballs a lot. But in the end of the day, he's a captain of Manchester United. Yeah. Like, it was a good goal. Like, why be a knobhead?
And, like, his post-match interview about Bryn Morris's strike, he said, and the lad scored a brilliant strike just before half-time. And you think, he didn't have to say that.
Yeah.
Like, Ten Hag come out and said the exact opposite, saying we had nothing.
Yeah. Oh my God, Ten Hag.
He's changed.
Ten Hag's interview after Newport, I was a bit like, mate, come on, have a bit of respect.
Yeah.
Have a bit of respect, Joe. Like, and he just didn't seem to just
recognise
the fact that you guys showed character and everything like that.
I just think the build up for him, he's probably thinking, this is a potential banana skin. If I lose this, I'm getting the tic tac, and that is me done with
it. It was a manager under pressure, I felt.
100%. And I felt like he just had to, whether it's him backing his players, yes, it's disrespectful to Newport. And, you know, they've ended up in the end going on to win 4-2. So you do think, surely, even if you're thinking that, just give us a little bit of credit. But, you know, he's at the top of the game, so...
What did you make of... Because Anthony got a lot of hate for his
celebrations.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Because for me personally, as a Man United fan, I know we're split as a fan base on Anthony, but he's just come back, he's just scored. You can imagine what it would feel like as a player to come back and score and get back into that kind of zone.
Well, he's had a shit time since
he's had a horrible
United.
Time, right?
And don't get me wrong, some of it is self-inflicted with the spins and all this shit, because that's not me as a player. I'm not a fancy player who does all the step and the spins. But to score a goal, if you score a goal in the park, you're celebrating. If you score a goal in, you know, in a league game, FA Cup game, you always celebrate.
Okay, like, I get that, but I disagree. I think, I don't know, like, I thought he was just a bit arrogant, personally.
Yeah.
I get, like, you know, come on, like, you know, rally it, but it was the making it about him kind of thing.
But I think that lends credit to you as a team, right?
If he doesn't celebrate, do people say, oh, well, because it's against Newport?
Just do like an old Shearer thing, you know? That's what you need to do, just, you know.
I know.
But you didn't have a problem with it. Your players, your fellow teammates didn't
I didn't
have
see it
right?
until afterwards, and then, but... No, not really.
I've got a point to bring up here talking about celebrations. So obviously you scored your goal.
Yeah.
Right? And it's obviously we've covered that. I obviously I'm going to show you this picture.
Oh no.
I've been talking about it for ages. So literally, see this photo there. Right. This is your celebration.
Yeah.
Mate, you need to walk me through something. Where are your shin pads?
They're in there.
Where?
How small?
Where are they?
Yeah, my shin pads.
Are they shin pads for mice?
They're tiny, they're literally about that big.
Why?
They're smaller than this.
I'd say the top head of the microphone.
What is that about? Like, why have you started?
There's no protection. Is it fashionable?
Shin pads don't really work as protection. Well,
I don't know.
If someone's going to break your leg, I think it's going to break your leg.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In touch with it doesn't happen.
But like, aren't referees like, pull your fucking socks up? Like, do you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if he was going to feel there's protection there. So I guess there's no actual measurements for what's required or whatever. So
I know this is super weird right now that you're having to like
justify
talk about your shit.
When I look down at myself,
against the rules or
no. If I look down at myself and I feel like if I had a shin pad on, it looks too chunky.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm a bit heavy.
Oh, do you remember the old ones with the ankle straps?
Yeah.
It almost felt like it made you play worse, didn't it?
You felt like you had a brick.
You'd have foot cramp and stuff.
Yeah. So it's just something that God, I've had them since I joined. Really,
was it from? Is it inspired from Jack Grealish?
Do you know what? The first game I put my socks down was Charlton at home when I played as left back. No, I actually had him up.
And you were like, look, playing me up front.
Down to the bottom, because I genuinely was quite tight on my calf.
Yeah.
And I scored, so I thought, I'm sticking with it.
Superstition.
Yeah, and I'm not a superstitious person.
Really?
Because every footballer seems to be. Everyone
has something or a way they put their right boot on their left, whatever. I've never been a superstitious person, but that, I actually did it for comfort. And then I scored, so I thought, well, I've got to stick with this. Thankfully, it's gone on.
Brilliant.
So
the manager was like, I like the way he puts his shin pads on. I'm going to put him up front, basically.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what he said.
That's what he bases his line at what a good striker is. Yeah.
I just want to touch on something very quickly that we do every episode. So basically, over the last few weeks, we have been doing a weekend treble. Now, you're probably not allowed to speak about betting or anything like that.
So absolutely
this,
not.
This part of the show is not going to be
put your fingers in ears.
But we do a weekend treble, three different selections that I pick, and we just see if it comes in. We're tracking the progress and trying to make profit at the end of the season. Last week it came flying in, so we are on a good run of one coming in.
Well done, but mate. You've done really well.
This week's treble actually does slightly involve Will, so no pressure.
Can I just say, disclaimer, Will Evans does not support this feature. No, I think stop.
Yeah, this is nothing to do with Will. So this week's treble, I have got Celta Vigo versus Barcelona over 2.5 goals, Juventus to beat Verona, and Newport versus Gillingham over 1.5 goals. That's your treble this week. Get on it for a cool £32 back off a tenner. Ooh. Big money.
Yeah.
In your head, when you come into a game now, when you're on this run, how much do you think about, you know, you're on a run? How much do you think about coming in and going, I want to keep that run going? How much does that help you when you're on a run? You don't think about it?
Because...
Really?
Yeah. When we played Forest Green early on in the season, they had kickoff, gone to the centre half. They boomed it long. Our centre half has come through, absolute slabhead, boomed it behind their back line. It's bounced once, and I've tapped it in after 13 seconds. Tell me when that would ever happen again. It'll never happen again in my life. So if I go into a game thinking, come on, got to keep this run going, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah,
sure. I have no idea. And earlier on in the season, before that goal, I was like, just get in the right position, you know, good contact. Fucking bollocks, that is. No game ever happens the same way twice. My goals, they might be similar, that I arrive back post. That's about me being in that position, but that's what I'm on the pitch to do, getting those positions. My goal at Walsall at home, you know, the defenders tried to block it. It's just dropped to me and I've just hit it and it's gone in. Like, it doesn't occur twice. Do you know what I mean? Principles of it might do, like the runs into a back post, but I never like sat myself up, keep this run going.
Mm.
Do you know, I love football too much to not have, I don't have to sat myself up.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, there's games and there's days where you're like, come on, I need a little bit of a go.
Really?
Yeah, there is.
How did you get yourself through that?
I don't know. My first contact, I do like a first contact. If we've got kickoff, our kickoff is, you know, we play to our centre mid, he puts one over to me. If I win that first header, I'm up for it. If I lose that first header and get clattered, you're soon into the game then. And that's after 10 seconds.
So if anyone is betting, which obviously we're not supporting, watch the Newport game. If Will wins his first header, back him to score in that game. That's all you're saying.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
The thing is, though, if I don't win that first header, I'm like, right, fucking fix up.
You're more.
Yeah. So, do you know what I mean? It works itself.
I wanted to touch on something earlier. Obviously, you brought it back to Man United. Something we haven't spoke about. And it was equally, you know, not as big as a game. It was a pretty big game, the Wrexham game. I was there. I watched it. I kind of wanted to ask, like, obviously, with the whole welcome to Wrexham thing, the feel-good thing around Wrexham, like Ryan Reynolds, Rob McElhenney and everything, like, there's so much love for it. In terms of what it felt like as a Newport County player, what were they like?
To play against or the club as a whole?
Oh, just to play against the players, like...
Well, we played them at their place on the 23rd of December and that was rocking. That was a really good atmosphere.
The Kairas?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I actually started left wing back that game.
For fuck's sake, the
manager pulled me
in
and said, I need you to do me a favour. And I was like, how can I turn around to you and say, actually, no, I don't want to do that. Like,
yeah, I guess.
Come on then. So I played left wing back in that game. Obviously, I think I'm better up top and I've hopefully proved that this year. But that atmosphere was rocking. We actually conceded two long throws. So you know, as much as they got the glitz and the glam, they can do the dogged stuff as well. Yeah. And, you know, Ventosa's throw is an
Phil Parkinson does set them up. They're not like a Barcelona.
Not at all. And, yeah. You know, that was kind of when we come back to play them at Rodney, what a week we had there. Obviously, the Eastleigh game sets up the United tie. But first, we have Wrexham, temporary stand, then followed by United. We thought, let's just go for it. What have we got to lose? We've just got to go for it. You know, we owe them one because they've done us 2-0 at their place. And we took up 1,100, 1,200 fans that place. So you almost want to repay them a little bit.
Yeah, of course.
Near the Christmas time as well, you know, people are forking out their well-earned money around that Christmas period to come and watch us play, and we fucking lose 2-0. You're a bit like... For me, that's a bit of a stickler for me. I don't know if that applies to other players.
No, that's good. That means you're connected to the fans.
Yeah, which is all you want.
Love that.
I want the players to like be gutted.
It's actually amazing for you, like as fans of football. Yeah. So now you're playing.
Yeah.
From a fan point of view, to know that I've never heard that much. I've never heard a player say
I'm gutted. They spent money on that. Yeah.
And now I want to repay them the next. Obviously, you hear the PR interviews, but that. Like, it feels genuine.
But, like, like, even my parents, I'm from 25 minutes from Wrexham, and, like, my family came, there's about six of them came, and I was like, apologies, shit day out for you. And they're like, what do you mean? No way. Yeah. And that's my family who live 25 minutes away, who I got them at comp tickets. People are paying £30 for a ticket, travel up there, what is it? I don't even know, 50, 60 quid?
Mm.
100 quid before they even got into the ground. So, yeah, it was a bit of a stickler that was for me. So to then, that Wrexham game, like I said, set up a great week. What was there? 8,000, 9,000 people?
Yeah, I think there was 9,500.
It's just like rocking. They're the games you want to be involved in. You want to be making impact in those games. And, you know, thankfully, obviously, the red card probably does change the game. But
it was strange for me, like, being in the stand because, like, I was seeing, like, Paul Mullin, Ollie Palmer, Elliot Lee, all these players. And it was almost like, they were Premier League players in a way because it was like almost like a film star. Really, like I was looking, I know your story. I know your story, and obviously, I don't know if you wanted to say on the podcast.
Ask him what they're like as people.
I want to know what you feel like. What they're like.
Well, you don't really have. Me personally, with someone like Mullin, he's the other end of the pitch for me.
Yeah.
Shook hands after the game, and as I was walking out to the bus and the away game, he was like, "All the best, mate." So. As much as I've come into contact with him, that's all I can say about him. Elliot Lee, like, genuinely quality think he's player. A quality player. So player. You almost put your hands up to him a little bit, like you respect him, but don't like you're not in awe of him. You know, you respect him as a footballer, but at the end of the day, on the pitch, it all goes out the window. I don't really know how they come across. Fine enough.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Were you kind of like thinking, like, be honest, I don't want to overly like big Rex, but were you kind of hoping in your head, I hope Ryan Reynolds is here? Be honest.
That didn't actually cross my mind. But what I will say about that, as soon as we had our fixtures before the start of the season, that was the first game I looked out for. When do we play Rex in their place?
Yeah, because I'm maybe surprised they didn't turn up.
23rd of December, Christmas time, I don't know, maybe.
That's a difficult time for them.
And
then to come down to
Rodney, when we 20th of Jan. I mean, they're multi-millionaires, film stars and whatever, so.
Oh, mate, I've seen them go to watch, like, them play Boreham Wood.
Oh, their commitment's amazing.
Oh, you've got to give it to them. I actually really like what they're doing. And
yeah, it is quality.
I listened to a podcast about, I think it was on Ben Foster's one when he interviewed Ollie Palmer.
The Fozcast. That's a really good podcast.
They came in and they were all in a meeting room, as we would be here, and they said, if you've got any interest outside of football, please let us know. Let's see if we can get you in the right way. And Ollie Palmer opened up his own clothing brand or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it's like WUX. Like helped him.
And that's quality. That's unbelievable. Right? I think that's so good. So a big advocate of things like that. If someone like Ollie Palmer, you know, towards the back end of his career, they've got to look for life after football. I think it's amazing.
That does segue onto a nice question for you, Will. What is life outside of football for you?
What is life outside of football? I'm a big coffee snob. Really like my coffees, yeah.
Well, it's pretty, definitely, you wouldn't have liked this, mate.
No, to be fair, and that is real snobby of me because I'm a farmer from Mid Wales. I shouldn't really have the right to be snobby about coffee. I love like going to a coffee shop. I live down in Cardiff, so like my walks and stuff as well. Not to like overdo it, but I'm a pretty simple human. You know, I don't really game or anything like that. I'm not into stuff like that. I've got a great partner who's, keeps me company.
Have you got kids?
No, I haven't got kids, no.
Is it like, are you kind of enjoying that now that you've got, like you said, you've got a great partner.
Yeah.
Your life is pretty much on track. You're doing exactly what you want to do. Do you feel settled in that? You don't need something external to football. You've got everything.
Yeah, as it is at the moment, yeah. And I'd say last year when I was like, wasn't with anyone, you now being with my partner, getting that stability and a little bit like on the straight and narrow, she like, she's good as gold, like, you know, like even cooking food and stuff. I went to university, so I know how to, you know, whip up a pasta and a sauce. Whereas like she'll make it from, pretty much. She'll make it from scratch and it's like that goodness coming into you. I think that does go a long way. And, you know, I have got to give her a lot of credit because I think that has kept me pretty humbled and on my feet.
Is she the reason you're scoring all the goals then, Zoe?
Well, she's obviously going to say yes. Listen, I'll give her credit. That's all
she
needs.
She's got 20 assists this year.
She's got 20 assists. But no, like I genuinely think, you know, behind having a good, you know, stance on the pitch, I think it comes from external factors. And like I said, I'm a pretty simple human, you know.
Yeah, you, the only flaw you did say about your missus is she's a City fan.
City fan, yeah.
I was wondering what you were going to say then.
Yeah. I was thinking, what have I said here?
Yeah. I didn't want to dig you out. No.
Mate, my heart went into my throat. I was like, shut up.
She's a City fan, though.
She's a City fan, yeah. So she's from up Manchester way and
loves football.
Loves football. You know, big fan of it. You know, like you hear lads on a Sunday, Super Sunday's up, and you've got United, Chelsea, and Liverpool, Arsenal on, where some lads try and, you know, wangle their way to get on the TV. Yeah. She's the one putting it on, going, come
really?
On, let's
that's
watch
a dream,
this.
Though.
Yeah.
Well, that's class.
Which is good, really good. But I'm like, because of so much football in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could watch two back-to-back games. And that sounds really bizarre, but like two Premier League games back-to-back.
See what I mean, though, because like you're literally having training sessions, meetings, tactics sessions, everything. So like, yeah, I can see
but
what you
I appreciate it. That's what I can do. Yeah. When you see a City, every team plays in a low block. How does City counteract that? Don't get me wrong, it does get a little bit like, God, here we go, wheeling it around the back. But then De Bruyne's and like the movement from Haaland and that you can really appreciate.
Yeah. At the start, or in the middle of the show, we asked you to do three quotes.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about this.
Those three quotes, two of them were lies. One of them was a true quote from Will.
Can you do me a favour, mate?
Do you want me to read?
Yeah, I think so, read Jake.
I don't want you to judge it based off the quote. I want you to read Will and see if you can tell when he's lying.
He's got such a good poker face, though.
Really?
Yeah, you read every single one. I was okay. I believe
where are you at? One. Like, what are you thinking? Do you have a clue? No, go on, go for it.
Because these are the quotes, yeah. I was hoping I wouldn't score against Man United, being a big fan, but I accidentally got on the end of one and the rest is history.
No, but I don't think that's true because I think that would piss Newport fans off if you said that. You should never not want to score for your club, no matter what.
Nice. Maybe you've got to know me a little bit more.
I can't read him.
And you're trying to, yeah. Number two. I was approached by a scout from Portugal, but I'm too pale for that. I wouldn't last.
Oh, you're quite pale.
Oh,
I'm joking. I can't talk, mate. I look like a vampire.
I'm used to it.
Don't know. That's. I can kind of believe it.
Third quote?
Yeah.
When they told me Newport was being taken over by Hugh Jenkins, I thought it was the guy who presents the news on the BBC.
So I just find this hilarious because one of the two, both are fucking class. I fucking hope it's the third one. Because imagine just being Hugh Jenkins saying, oh, I just bought a club and someone thinks you're the news presenter on BBC One. I'm going to go with...
What are you going to go for?
I'm going to go with the Portugal one.
Portugal one.
Yeah, I can imagine it. You're banging goals in. I can imagine, you know, FC Porto coming to sign you.
There's some English players and British players out there.
Yeah, it is.
It's believable.
Yeah. When you say English and British players, it's just English players out there.
I don't know any Welsh players, to be fair, but I realise that I'm talking about
there's definitely not any Welsh players who play in Portugal.
I don't think there is, no. Will, what was the true quote?
Go on.
The Portugal one.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Shit, when did you say that?
That would be, was it on the Haverford West one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was after, he asked me the question after the Wales Sea game.
No way.
And for like 48 hours after
Were you were playing
game.
In Portugal or something?
No, no, no. There was a coach who used to manage Kevin Druids.
Right,
he was Portuguese. And just got, I don't know how, we exchanged numbers, whatever, I think through social media.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, after that game, I've spoke to a good friend of mine who's an agent in Portugal. Would love to you to like speak to whoever ever about getting you over here. So, and I was thinking, is this a joke? Someone's having a wind up here.
What, and I said,
listen, I'm too pale to go over there.
There was a scout from Portugal who said they'd love for me to go over there. And I was thinking, no, I'm too pale for that. I won't last that.
Is that actually what he said?
Yeah.
Did you believe that? Like, was that actually hot, or were you just palming it off?
No. After that Wales C game, I was genuinely answering calls. I had a call from Ian Dowie.
What are you on about?
I was going to ask you about this. Yeah, I was going to ask you.
The actual phone, Ian Dowie himself.
I had a phone call, right? And it on WhatsApp, it comes up, maybe. And it, like, with a little dash.
Oh, don't say it said maybe.
And it said maybe Ian Dowie. So I was like, right, someone's having me off here. I am not buying this. So I literally remember answering it. I was like, yeah, good one, hung up. And he messaged me afterwards. He's like, hi, Will, I don't know what happened there. I think we cut out. It's Ian Dowie here. Please give me a ring back. And I was like, oh my God, is this actually Ian Dowie?
What are you on?
So I rung him back and it was Ian Dowie. Wow. Crazy.
What did he talk about? Didn't he like design a rocket or something
once? He's like a super intelligent human.
He designed like a rocket or something.
He's like an astrophysicist.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he ring you to speak about astrophysics?
Yeah. He's got the wrong one here.
I saw you play, mate. You look like you know loads about astrophysics.
But he was something involved with LARN, who play in Northern Ireland. We played them in a Europe game.
Oh, right.
Little did I know. So yeah, I did hang up on him and then
on Ian Dowie.
That's madness.
That was nearly going to be one of the things that I couldn't find like a proper quote
I would have palmed that story maybe Ian Dowie.
A bit of a wild one.
So brilliant. No Portuguese football for Will Evans then,
eh? I think that is a good way to end the show. Thank you Will for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No, thank you.
Hopefully everyone's enjoyed it, and good luck tomorrow night. You're playing Notts County,
yeah,
which you're not a superstitious person, so you're not saying that, you know, you're not going to score or going to score because you've been on the podcast.
Yeah.
But since you've been on this podcast, you've never not scored.
I don't.
So I want to put that out there.
Yeah.
And we'll be there.
Yeah, we're going to be watching.
Well. Yeah, 100%.
Good. Seeing you on, mate. Yeah, 100%. Nice. And obviously, good luck playing for Wales in the playoffs as well.
Brilliant. Thanks, everyone. Nice. Have a great week. Nice. Thanks for joining us.
Cheers, boys. Thank you very much.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, Joe. Into my mind, tell me stories of all that are great. Cherish these days before it's too late. If you could turn.
Test. I'm here with Will. He's a good footballer.
Will is a very good footballer.
I am a good footballer.
Look, he's bringing it to the top.
Oh, am I? There.
And that's me in the middle.